She had a voice, a swagger, and an excitement that set the standards for all Broadway stars. Ethel was also one of the most adored performers of her generation. This Rare Pops performance, conducted by Arthur Fiedler from 1975, will certainly show you why.
And now, what else is there to say but...
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. That's 96.7, Brian Hammer Jackson Network. We have a very special guest, Rebecca A. Lewis. This is a very special Saturday show. And this is her first interview. And then Rebecca A. Lewis's first words, or in her own words, it says, Rebecca A. Lewis, she joins the Hammer for her first radio interview. She is launching her series, The Baldur Chronicles. It's a YA fantasy series, and this is her in her own words. I just finished my first full YA, and I'm assuming YA is young adult, fantasy series called The Baldur Chronicles. I am an indie author who publishes on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited. I am an author who put, I'm approaching my first year publishing, and this year published 4 books in the series and 1 standalone in a fantasy. I am so excited about my future as the author, as an author, and about this series. If you like romance, adventure, dragons, battles, coming-of-age stories, and a strong female lead, then this is the series for you. We hope you come on in. You give Rebecca a special support on a Saturday. And if you'd like to come in and talk to Rebecca or me, the number is 319-527-6099. And without further ado, I talked to her a little bit, and she sounds great. I sound rough on a Saturday. But without further ado, I'm going to let Becky in, and I'm going to give her a studio welcome. In about 5 seconds, as soon as I can find my audience. And here you go, Rebecca. Welcome to the show. Let me get the audience here. There we go. Everybody, let's give her a studio welcome, Rebecca A. Lewis. There they are. There they are. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm tired.
Well, Rebecca, I think you're going to excite the group and the crowd. Thank you for coming in, and thank you for coming on Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. We reached over 35 million people last month. So they're listening to you. But you sound so young, by the way. Is this your first book, Rebecca?
Oh,
and
no. So I've been writing since I was a kid, and I'm not young.
okay.
But it wasn't until about a year ago that I finally decided to publish. You know, it's been a lifetime of writing, and you know, when you're a kid, you're not ever told that you can be a writer. You know,
mm-hmm.
like they're always it's like being an artist. You know, you say, "Hey, mom, I want to be an artist," and your parents are like, "That's nice. Go get a real job." and that's kind of how it is as an author. I've always wanted to be one, but was never told that I could. And then finally last year kind of had the opportunity, and I was just like, all right, let's
mm-hmm.
do it, let's try it and find out how it goes. And, I'm doing 100 times better than I ever thought I would, you know, and have, published, 5 books this year, as well as the full, you know, what do you call it? A box set, an omnibus of the full series of the Valdir Chronicles. Which is just way more than I ever thought I would do, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to check you out. And you were referred to us by one of my favorite people, Veronica Blake.
Yes, I follow her on social media and have just kind of loved everything that she's done. And then, of course, saw her, you know, kind of pushing you is a great place to interview, and I was like, why not? That sounds awesome. Nerve wracking.
Well, you're lucky today. On Saturday, I'm very nice. Usually Monday through Friday, I'm kind of raw, risque, but Saturday I'm kind
uh-huh.
of nice. So you got the nice hammer today.
Oh,
you
good.
Really do. So, Rebecca, are you a self-publisher, or do you have a publishing company?
So, as an indie author, that essentially means that I am the publishing company. So, I do it all. I do everything from obviously writing the book to, you know, putting it out there to marketing to, you know, I hire all the people to do all the things that I can't do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I know we have a lot of indie authors come on, and it's really hard to self-publish
mm-hmm.
with Amazon, but
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you did it. Now, what type of audience do you think will find your book thrilling, and they need to have it? Is there a type of group or a type of young teens or
mm-hmm.
well, you have, well, you have a lot of things in here that I like, dragons and adventure
mm-hmm.
and romance. So is it the young girls that particularly love your book, or is it just in general they'll love your book?
Well, the probably my favorite thing about young adult, the YA genre, is
mm-hmm.
that it appeals to everybody.
Right.
really don't have to be a certain age to like it. But I would say that my books are appropriate and totally fine for someone as young as 12 to read. And then obviously as old as you want to be. The main difference with YA and any other genre is that the protagonists tend to be under the age of 18. So my main character is 15 when the books start, and then she's about 17, 18 when they end. And so definitely, you know, she's under 18. But I think that what's fun is that anybody of any age can like it. And I actually have a small group of little old ladies who absolutely adore my books. And it's really funny to get emails from them every time I put out a new book, you know, saying how much they love it. There's no age limit on YA, but you're right. You gotta love dragons. You gotta love adventure. There's really never a dull moment in my books. Coming of age, strong female leads, and there you got the formula for the Valdir Chronicles.
And Rebecca, when you set out to write your story, did you intend to have a female lead? I mean, this is a year of the female. I mean, I'm hearing a lot, you know, a lot of Marvel. Captain America is a no, not Captain America. Marvel. Captain Marvel. Only.
Yeah.
There's a lot of female lead. Charlie's Angels. Even Bosley is a female lead. So did you capitalize on the year of the woman, and did you intentionally have a female lead for writing your book, or did you just have somebody in mind?
You know, I have always loved strong female characters. The books that I have always read, my preference has been for strong female characters. And so when I set out to write these books, I knew that was what I wanted to do. I didn't think about capitalizing on the gear of the female.
But it's a good idea. I mean, it is the year of the woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I think 2020, I think we're going to see a lot of strong female leads instead of the sappy kind of female waiting for the white knight to rescue her, or she's always in a predicament and, you know, the Lois Lane and waiting for the Superman to come and save her. I think we're going to get a lot of sensitive men where the women are coming to save him in 2020.
I agree. And my main character, her name is Kalina. She certainly does not need saving. She needs friends and she needs help to get through everything that she goes through, but she does not need saving. She's got it.
Well, tell me about your lead character. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. So her name is Kalina. She has something unique about her. She has silver hair. But she was raised as an orphan in a remote abbey and just kind of knows nothing really about the world. And she's always been forced and never really understood why to hide her silver hair. But in, you know, an interesting twist of fate, she overhears somebody talking about the Valdir, who are an ancient race of dragon riders. And she hears a whisper that she might actually be descended from these dragon riders who disappeared the year that she was born. And so that kind of throws her, you know, into an adventure to try and find out where she comes from, who the Valdir are, where do the dragons go, why did they disappear, and what is her place within that world. And that's kind of the first book, and then, you know, the second and third books follow her subsequent adventures. You know, I'm not gonna give away too many spoilers, but very much like it hits all the tropes that young adult readers really love.
Well, you know what? Even if it's a young boy, I would read it. I would read it. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
You put in. I like what you did. You put in the dragons. If you just had the romance and this, and I go, ugh. You put in dragons
right.
and battles. I'm there. I'm absolutely
oh, yeah.
there. Smart move. Really good move.
Well, I like a book that moves. I like a book that clips along, and if there's not enough action, I get bored. I get bored writing it.
Right.
And if I get bored writing it, then no one's going to want to read it. So I make sure there's plenty of action.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it's a good book. Well, who was your muse? You know, when you're writing, Rebecca, first of all, how long did it take you to finish your book?
There are four books in the series, and it took me, over the course of the last year to write all four. And I got kind of faster as time went on. it took me about a year to write four books.
That's not bad. I've had authors on who took about 3 years to write a book. I mean, in between, you know, life happens. They stop, they go,
mm-hmm.
they stop, something happens, get back to it.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. Four books in a year. I like your cover,
well,
by the way. Who
book.
Picked out your cover?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my very first book that has never seen the light of day and never will took me years. my covers, I have a cover artist who works with Downright Nuts is the name of the company. And she's a friend of mine, and I just
mm-hmm.
said, you know what? I have this really vague idea of dragon scales. What do you think? And then that's where we came up with it.
Were you influenced? Well, you know, it's really different to hear dragons from a lady. I know it sounds misogynist. Stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of your favorite? I mean, it tells me you're a Harry Potter girl.
Oh, yeah.
Were you The Hobbit, the trilogy? Were you one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not the movies, because the movies are bad.
Oh,
but
really? I love the movies. Really? I love the movies. Really?
Well, I love Martin Freeman, but
uh-huh.
the movies themselves, they relied way too heavily on CG. They didn't do enough costuming, and they added in stuff that wasn't there. In the books, and it just made me angry.
You know, I heard the same thing. I heard the same thing,
yeah.
But I never read the books, but I was a big fan of the movies. I mean, it was just remarkable writing, what I seen at the movies. I'm sure the book is better, but it was remarkable
mm-hmm.
writing, tell you the truth, it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great story.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, do you have a family? Are you married? Do you have kids? Are you introducing, if you do, do you have children that you're introducing to sci-fi and maybe Marvel movies? Are they interested in doing things like what you're doing and writing and things like that?
I do not have kids yet, but I have a husband and plenty of pet children, a couple dogs and a couple cats, but my husband is also a big nerd, just like me. We both are big Marvel. Well, I'm a Marvel fan. He's a DC fan, so you know, we fight sometimes.
You guys are not the one at Comic-Con, and you're dressed up, are you? Are you guys those people?
I would be if I felt like I could handle that many people, but. But him, no. Neither of us are, you know, I mean, I'm a writer. I'm not an extrovert. I'm very clearly an introvert. So I'll stay away from the, you know, crowds where I feel like I'm going to drown. But I have gone to a few cons and I have done some cosplay of some of my favorite characters. So definitely a nerd, but, you know, not a crazy nerd.
Oh, that sounds like fun, though. It would sound like really fun. You know, people here, really, rarely do I go dollars and cents and investment. But people here, hey, I can go on Amazon. I'm not really a writer, always wanted to write. I have an idea. I have a story in my mind. I never really went to school, high school. I was never an A student. I'll just put something together because I can self-publish. If you had to, your first experience self-publishing and Amazon, do you have anything of caution to tell someone that who's listening right now says, you know what, she did it. I'm going to go on there. I'm going to self-publish it. I'm done. Do you have any kind of experience you want to caution, you want to tell them that you did not expect when you were when you self-published your book? Any warning?
I mean, it's a business. If you go on there and you just want to publish a book because you want to publish it for pleasure, you just want to say, you want to be able to say that you published a book, great, do it. Go for it. But when, if you actually want to do this as a business and a job, then treat it as such. You know, you have to be professional. You have to pay for editing and for covers, and you can't just slap something up there and expect that anybody's going to read it. So, you know, I make sure that my books are clean, that there's really not any typos or any grammatical errors. I do multiple rounds of editing. It goes through beta readers. It goes through, you know, ARC reviewers. It sees a lot of people before it even makes it onto Amazon. You can't go into it expecting an overnight success.
Right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Okay, here's like Rebecca and Brian. Rebecca, I'm gonna write a book. I'm gonna write a big story. I'm gonna make lots and lots of money. If I don't make any money the first month, I'm gonna quit. What kind of advice would you give Brian the writer at that point?
I would say, again, don't expect an overnight success. If you've never marketed yourself before, if you've never edited, if you've never been criticized horribly, if you've never gotten one-star reviews, then, like, you need to have a thicker skin than that, you know?
Yeah.
I have come to the conclusion that I don't read my reviews, because if you read your reviews, you know, you're going to get a lot of great ones. You're going to be like, oh, awesome. You know, this is why I do it. And then you get to that one that just is like a knife, you know, in the gut, and you have to be able to move on. If this is your career, if this is what you want to do, then you have to, you can't look at the reviews, and you have to just kind of let them slide by. So,
you know, I noticed reviews, it was really harsh. I think other authors give other authors the worst reviews. They're more critical. You know, I don't know if the general audience is as critical as another author. And I could tell an author who gives another author a review, and it seems like they're more critical than the rest of the person. They concentrate on the typing, or there's a typo here, the spacing, the story didn't. I mean, everybody's a critic, right? Everybody's a freaking critic. And I find other authors are the worst on other authors as far as review goes. They're just more critical. Born of Air. Tell me about that book, please.
Born of Air.
So
that's the first book in the series, and that one's the one that is where, you know, Kalina has that self-discovery of, like, who am I? Oh, my gosh, I'm not who I thought I was. I thought I was just a nobody, and now it turns out that I might not be. And that one's really the launching off point for her to discover who she is. And in that one, so something that I haven't mentioned yet, but I have degrees in psychology and sociology. And one thing that I love to do when I'm writing is address things like mental health and trauma. And so book one kind of explores that for her because she's been raised as an orphan. I mean, that kind of inherently comes with an amount of trauma. And she's been raised in a fairly loveless situation. You know, she doesn't have a mother and father's love, so she doesn't know what that what that's like. She doesn't really... She grew up in a really small town in the middle of nowhere, and so she's never been to a big city. She's never, you know, experienced people everywhere and people touching her, so she's got a little bit of agoraphobia and some, you know, some panic when she gets into really large crowds. But throughout her discovery, she ends up in the capital and ends up having some interaction with royalty. And we just kind of get to see her growing through and learning about, you know, kind of how is she supposed to handle herself in these situations that she's never been in before. And it's kind of all a discovery for her, having grown up as sheltered and, you know, naive, I guess, as she has been. She's brave. There's no doubt about that, but, you know, she doesn't really have a lot of knowledge of the world. And so it's really just the book is following her and watching her figure it out.
You know, it's interesting.
And of course, Drax.
Well, the character, her name is Kalina.
Yeah.
It says Kalina is a nobody. Wow, that's kind of harsh. Okay, I'm already rooting for her. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, it's just right in your face. Bring in a dragon, eat her, done. Kalina is a nobody. She's an orphan whose only remarkable trait is the silver hair she is forced to hide. It's interesting that you said silver and not gray. The psychology in this one. Silver is more mystic, is more magical than you would say gray would put her into a cage. That's interesting. Was that on purpose? For silver as a mythical and maybe a magical kind of thing, and gray would put her kind of like an older woman?
Yes. She does actually get made fun of for having silver hair when she's, you know, when she's younger. But yeah, the point of the silver hair was to make her stand out and be different. You know, I wanted her to be a little strange, a little different, and always kind of wonder, why am I different? Is there a purpose to it, you know, when she's growing up? And then suddenly she realizes that there is, and she's not an outsider, and there is somewhere that she belongs. And she just has to go find it. And that was part of it. And then you're right. Yeah, silver is definitely a little bit more magical. when it comes to the dragon riders, all of them have silver hair. And so it's...
But don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. But, you know,
but,
you did something... Go ahead.
No, you're fine.
You did something very interesting and smart. You made the lead character a teen. And that's so smart because if you get your audience and she grows up with you or she can relate to an average kid. And those are the people who buy books. The Harry Potter series, we can go on with with the tribute. I forgot that on and on and on. You made her the age of where the kids just say, "Mom, I want to read about this story and I can relate to." And those series tend to be successful and have a long life. You must have really... Did you think about making her 16, or is it just you could have made her 17, you could have made her 20? Did you just want to hit that tween thing, or were you this awkward girl in grade school or high school that you write about yourself?
I mean, I've always been in love with coming of age stories. I've always loved, you know, that time of life when you don't really know who you are and you're trying to figure it out. And, you know, I think that I've always felt that that makes for an interesting story. Teenagers, they can be changeable. They can be emotional. There's a lot. It's the most emotionally charged time in our lives as humans.
Right.
And I love that. I love emotions. And I love, that when you're a teenager, you tend to have that sense of adventure. The older you get, you know, you get more stuck in your ways. You don't want to leave the house. But as a teenager, like, you're ready to, like, charge off into the woods, like, all right, let's do this, whatever, you know. So I've always loved that time of life, and I felt like that for this story, it would be kind of like, it'd be the perfect time.
Perfect. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Born of Embers. Born of Embers.
So that one is the second book in the series, and it follows her. I'm not going to spoil. That's the problem. I gotta watch out for the spoilers. But essentially, some stuff happens in book one that gets her to a very specific point. You can obviously go and you know, read the blurb, and it gives away a little bit. But essentially, it's just kind of the next stage, and this one. She's about 16, 17 in this book, and she does some stupid stuff. And there are a couple moments where you're just like, wait, why did you do that? And you have to remember, she's a teenager. She's going to be changeable. She's impulsive. I mean, all teenagers are a little bit impulsive, and she's going to make some decisions that aren't the smartest. But the good news is that she's smart. And she's brave, and she realizes after she makes these decisions that she's like, that's not the best choice. I need to do better, you know? And so then she does better.
Right.
And then we have a, you know, kind of a exciting conclusion. And then she finally has kind of settled into her place in the world. She knows who she is, and she really kind of comes into her own confidence. And that all of that anxiety kind of drops away, and she really becomes who she's supposed to be. And so I love the pacing of the story. It's quick. There's a lot that happens, and she kind of figures it out at the end.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And the Baldur Chronicles, which is a series of three books. Born of Stone. That's interesting.
So that one is actually the novella, and it tells the story of, it tells a little bit of backstory of the country and of kind of some of the events that are happening around the time that Kalina is born. So it tells you the reason why the Valdir leave, why they disappear. And it tells the story of Kalina's parents.
Oh.
Yeah. So that one, I suggest that people read it after Born of Air, because there's, you know, a little bit of spoilers about who her parents are. But you can technically read it whenever. There's no specific spot where it could be read, but I do suggest that people do it after they've met Kalina.
You got great story ideas. Did you ever think about selling them as a box set, or, you know, just put them together in one special edition that they can get all three of the books together?
So yesterday the box set came out. Is currently up. Yeah, it's currently up on Amazon right now. The paperback is a whopping 684 pages long. It contains all four books, so it includes the novella Born of Stone. And it also has a double page spread of a map, which has not been present yet in any of the previous books. So it's kind of the little excitement is there's a map in this book.
Rebecca, you know, you impress me so much, maybe because it's Saturday and me being impressed is me getting up and talking Saturday, but forget that.
Right.
But you do impress me so much. I like what you said in the beginning, and I cannot say it enough. It is a business. I know,
yep.
You know, sometimes people get attached to their book and they want to call it their baby, whatever. I think sometimes they get too involved and they don't want to let their baby go or the cover, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know you worked hard on your book. It is a business. Even though it's your baby, I'm sorry, we have to pimp it out. People need to buy your baby.
Right?
And
I agree. Go buy it.
Yeah. I mean, it's I think a lot of authors can't get out of their own head. I don't know if they have entitlement or what. Well, my book is not going there. Well, how come my book is there? Oh, no, I'm not going to. You know, it is a business. You got to promote. You got to market it. And one person's one little girl's interpretation is another girl's interpretation. One girl's hero is another girl. Hey, I have a friend just like that, and she's nuts. You know?
Yeah.
I just love the approach that you're doing as far as selling your book, marketing your book. The stories are great. Your main characters of age. It's well known. Disney made a living with all. If you look at their characters in Disney,
right?
They're kids.
Yep.
They're teenagers. They're coming of age.
Yep.
Even the first Star Wars movie, Luke was a boy.
Oh, absolutely.
So. And Layla was a sister, and so they kissed, and there was a problem.
And it was.
But I love your story. There's a little problem there, but it's okay. It moves. It has everything that even a young boy would like. It has the battles. It has the dragons. Is there a lot of witchcraft in your book, or witchery, or anybody's a wizard, or anything like that? I have the silver hair, but you have anything else going?
So actually, there's not a whole lot of other magic. It really is just kind of a lot of battles and fighting. There's a war. There's actually multiple wars going on. But there's not a lot of magic. The only real magic is with the dragon riders and bond with the dragons themselves. But yeah, it's really more. When you say that boys would like it, I have actually multiple fans that are boys who love it because it is nonstop action.
Wow. Do you get graphic in the violence as far as the battles are concerned? I mean, trust me, I'm playing God of War right now. I'm playing video games. And we know
right.
how graphic these videos can get. So you have you've seen these video games. So are you trying to...
Uh-huh.
Are you holding back on the graphics as far as violence is concerned, or you're just letting it fly, let the imagination go, he rips his head off, and his ears turn into wings, and they fly off in the forest? I mean, do you hold back at all, or you know what I mean? Because these video games are very rough.
Right. I do hold back a little bit. Like I said, this is appropriate all the way down to age 12. And so there's some romance, but there's no, graphic scenes.
Sure.
There's definitely battles and fighting, and there is blood, and there is, injuries, and people do die, absolutely. but I'm not gonna sit there and describe to you how someone gets eviscerated by a dragon. Like, that's not, it's a little bit too much.
You know what? I'll get a bigger audience if you do. I love it.
Well, but then I move into the adult side of things, and I don't get to cater to the young team. So, but I do actually have a standalone book called Secrets and Swords that is NA, which would be new adult. And so my character is over the age of 18, and there are definitely there's sword fighting there as well. There is a little bit more heat a little, not much, but a little bit more heat, and definitely some themes that are not appropriate for kids.
Right.
So if there are adults out there that still want to check it out, then that would be the other option.
Well, let's go into the psychology of this. Who sets these guidelines about what is appropriate to 12? Because I'm telling you, I'm playing video games.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I hate to bust your bubble. I mean, did you see Grand Theft Auto?
I
mean,
too.
Did you see that game? Oh, my God.
No,
I'm playing God of War. So these
are
marketing to the kids who are 11, 12, 13, 14. Seriously, they are.
So I
wonder who sets those guidelines about what's appropriate to a 12-year-old, because these 12-year-olds are out there playing these games, and they're playing these virtual games, and they're killing the whole universe, and they're not taking it easy. So how do you set that standard of when you're writing that you can't go so much into detail because you're thinking this is not appropriate for this age? Who sets that standard?
Well, like I said,
I'm talking to violence. I can understand the sex.
Right?
I can understand the sex.
But
the violence.
The violence. Well, I mean, frankly, what it comes down to for me is I'm not sitting here, like I said, thinking like, oh, I can't describe that because it might, you know, hurt somebody's feelings or something. But I'm like, you know what? Is it necessary for the story? Are people, you know, are people going to be interested in reading that? And you know, when I love violence. I love action movies are my bread and butter. Like I love that kind of stuff, but I don't like unnecessary violence that doesn't make sense for the story. And so if it doesn't make sense for the story, then I'm not going to put it in. I also, you know, as much as I say that my books are for all ages because they really are, I also recognize that not all teenagers are going to be super stoked to read really graphic descriptions, you know.
Right.
But those who do like God of War, those who do like really gory stuff, they're still going to like this book, you know.
Yeah.
It just isn't quite as out there as their video games, you know. Yeah, I really think it comes down to, for me as a writer, is what makes sense for the story. Does it make sense to intimately describe his entrails, you know, steaming out of him? No, probably not. But, you know, am I going to describe it, you know, as like, a dragon drags his claw across a guy's stomach and his insides are now on the outside? Like, I might describe it in a little bit more of a take a step back way, if that makes sense. Not quite as up close and in your face.
Well, I think what you're doing is the best, because the imaginations by far can take the book further than the graphic channel. Hey, Rebecca, guess what? You did it. You did the interview.
Woohoo!
We're over. That was it.
Well, it has been fun, actually.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's been fun with you too. I love the story, seriously. And I think your characters are smart. I think you did great writing. I love how you put the battles and the dragons with the romance in. I really like it. Well, here's what we do. We have 30 seconds, and I give you 30 seconds to promote anything you want. Promote your book, sell it, blah, blah, blah. And then we say goodbye. And you got it. Your 30 seconds and go, Rebecca.
All right. So basically, the Valdir Chronicles are really just kind of meant for anybody of any age who wants that adventure, who really wants to see somebody kind of find who they are and their place in the universe. And it's really it's a feel good. Adventure with dragons, and who doesn't love dragons, frankly?
That's true.
Right?
Dragons are the go-to. It's the go-to. And the dragons were born in Middle Earth. You would have to read The Hobbit, and you know what I'm talking about, Rebecca.
Lord of the Rings.
You know,
oh, yeah.
There you go. The best ever. Of course, I'll start reading the book on your suggestion. Movie, great.
The book better.
Loved. I could sit there, and I can just watch The Lord of the Rings all day. I could.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
on extended edition, 100%.
Oh, yeah. You know, my girlfriend has her daughter. They like to play this game, a board game called Magic. Have you ever heard about it? Have you ever heard it? They play Magic with these. It's an online
with
game
the cards?
Or something. With the cards,
oh,
yes.
No, the cards, yeah, yeah. Yep, yeah, my husband was a Magic nerd when he was young.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. I definitely married a nerd.
Oh, my God. They take that seriously. I mean, those cards are worth some money. I mean, they're putting a lot of money
right?
into that game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fantasy.
You did it,
everybody.
Huge. That's Rebecca. Rebecca, how did they get a hold of you again? Your website, your social media?
Yeah. So I definitely am on Facebook as author R.A. Lewis is my pseudonym, my pen name, whatever you want to call it. And, I'm on Instagram again as author R.A. Lewis. And I do have a website on WordPress as author R.A. Lewis at wordpress.com. Especially I think I'm most active on Instagram and Facebook, frankly, than I am
mm-hmm.
anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Post a lot of pictures, talk about my upcoming projects. I have a readers group that I do a lot of giveaways too, actually. So if you want free stuff, come follow me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I may hit you up on that because we have our shows and we have giveaways. You're going to have to come back,
oh,
Rebecca.
Awesome. I would love to.
Oh, you were great. Your first interview and that lovely Veronica Blake. You give her a big hug for me. I love that. I love her writing. She's a great, she has supported us, but she's a great writer too, that Veronica Blake.
Yeah.
That woman.
Definitely.
Give her our love. Well, Rebecca,
no.
It's short, sweet, but productive.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to have a cup of coffee with a dragon on it just to... think of you. Give your husband and happy new year to you and your family and to your nerdy husband.
Thank you very much. To you guys too.
All right. I'll see you at Comic-Con in Oregon. I know you will be there. I know you will.
I will.
Okay. Thank you, Rebecca Lewis. Don't forget the book, everybody. It's a series, a fantasy series called The Valdare Chronicles on Amazon now. R.A. Do you go by R.A. Lewis or just? Let me see how you go.
Yeah, R.A. Lewis. R.A. Lewis is the pen name, yeah.
There you go. So they can go to Amazon and put in R.A. Lewis and your books will come up, right?
Yes, it should, yep.
Okay. So go to Amazon right now. Don't listen to me anymore. Amazon, R.A. Lewis. Your kids are going to love you for it. Get the book, the fantasy series called The Valdare Chronicles. Thank you, R.A., and you have a great day.
All right, thank you, too.
You're welcome. Oh, I'll probably send you something. We have some. Okay. I have to do our marketing, our promotion, too. We do also offer marketing promotion. I'll send it in your email if you're interested in how we do it and reaching out to more people. Take a look at it, please.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested,
I'd
like you to join us. And we also have an edited interview.
Okay.
We, you know,
very
some
cool.
People will download the interview. There's an edited interview for your own thing. We've been here for 45
mm-hmm.
minutes. Your edited interview will probably be 30 minutes. If you're interested in that,
okay.
You'll see all of it. I'll give you the email. You just take a look at it. That's all you need to. It has
sounds
a dragon
good.
On it. I'll put a dragon
excellent.
On it. Thank you, R.A. Lewis. That's Rebecca Lewis. The series is called Valdare Chronicles. Have a happy new year.
Okay. Bye.
That's our show for our Saturday. I mean, we had a great guest. I mean, R.A. Lewis, Rebecca R.A. Lewis. A-lister. I love the book. Seriously, I read about the book. Get it. Go to Amazon. The Valdare Chronicles. Everybody have a great weekend. And we will see you Monday with a new guest. He's an author. And that's it. We're gone. Enjoy your Saturday.